Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every Monday through Friday at 6:30 in the evening and 11 o'clock at times, when my schedule permits, on 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. And tonight, this show handles a number of topics from day to day, which vary, which I think important. I'm a very great fan of English literature and American literature. I often will report and analyze the lives and works of such great writers as John Keats, Percy Bysshe Shelley, Lord Byron, E.M. Forster, John Steinbeck, Sinclair Lewis, and many, many others. I also have a Christian belief, which I adhere to, and it is something that I report on various theological issues and biblical texts quite frequently in this show. I also speak on political and topics of current events. I was a backer of President Trump. I thought he was a good president and deserved to be reelected, but I'm not about to impose any violence on that issue or force. I want to give you a little background. I always give a little background about myself to all you new listeners who may be new to this show. This is a politically incorrect show. We are concerned with honest discernment, honesty and truth. We're concerned with critical thinking and thinking in depth, and not to skate along the surface with political rhetoric, media lies, and media falsehoods. This show is not geared to that. It is geared to attempting to get at the facts and the truth. Second thing, as I said, I'm a Christian, and I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And also, I adhere to the ancient creeds of the Church, Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed, as well as if I have a chance, and I have some limited time to a certain extent, I'm sort of busy. When I have time, I do try to delve into the great Christian books such as John Milton's Paradise Lost, a book I greatly love and treasure beyond measure, since I think Milton hit upon the essential issue of what is going on in the world, namely the fall of man into sin. I think it's a reality. I think there's wickedness. I think it's evil. And I think the biblical account of it is one explanation provided by God to lead us to understand that something wrong happened. Something went wrong incorrectly. Third, I am I run two radio shows, a podcast show, and a blog talk radio show. These shows have had many, many visitors. The podcast show has had over 4,000 visitors, and from many countries, including Arab countries, Muslim countries, and atheist and agnostic China. This is also true of the Blog Talk Radio show, which is very popular in those places, in such places as India, Bangladesh, Belgium, Germany, United Kingdom, etc. Many countries, Malaysia, Japan, etc. The fourth thing is that I'm a writer. I've written 10 books. Three of the books are Christian books and two are legal books, and the rest are legal books. And these books have widely sold, quite widely. One book, Essays in the Christian Worldview, and others, has had very wide national and international sales. The entire University of California college system and the entire college system, community college system of the state of Louisiana, as well as many foreign universities, four Dutch universities, and a university in Germany, Marburg, as well as the Central Library in Zurich, Switzerland, among others. I've also written a book called Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, also bought widely, in particular by Harvard and the University of Pennsylvania, and a book on the parables. I have analyzed and interpreted the 41 parables in this book, and I have placed these interpretations on my website, social media, and at academia.edu, where they are constantly read and interpreted by those who have interest in biblical things. Biblical, of course, our society, there are many people who have no interest in the Bible. That's all right, because what people may be interested in doesn't mean too much. It's the intrinsic worth of the literary work, not its interest on the part of a popular mob. the mob's judgment is not particularly helpful on literature and thought. It is a judgment made by generations past, and it is a valid judgment, and it is not a matter of current popularity. Popularity is a commercial phenomenon which I don't adhere to or believe in. I don't believe that because something makes money is therefore of value. It has, in fact, may have little or no value, but it's merely fooled people into buying it, the system. I'm preparing a book on the I'm placing the sayings of Christ on my website and on social media. And these sayings are found in the Gospels, and I'm regularly posting them on social media and on academia.edu, as well as the my website. I have written two very extensive articles, one on the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure, which has been bought by the many European and American libraries, and in particular by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department. In addition, I wrote a very extensive, widely read article published by Academicus, a Albanian scientific organization, and this was bought by many European and American libraries and has been bought also by the State Department, I'm pleased to say, as well as universities in China and Japan and Australia, etc. If you go on WorldCat, you can find out who's bought these books and who's bought my books. My books and articles have had very wide purchases throughout the country and the world, including South America, India, etc. I'm preparing a new article. I've just submitted a new article to the Albanian scientific group called Academicus, which is on the American educational system and its failure, which will be published soon. And I've also submitted other articles to other international journals, which are considering them. I'm scheduled to be a speaker in the Great World Law Alliance on January 20th, before the representatives of 82 countries. And so that's about my situation now, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not pushing the envelope for myself, because I know as a Christian that I'm inadequate and failed as a human being, essentially, as all people are. If we look at ourselves honestly in the mirror once in a while, we don't see anything too good. We mostly see something defective, imperfect, and failed. Bad, no. Failed, yes. So I want to talk about tonight a very important parable, which is a very familiar parable called the Parable of the Good Samaritan. But I think it requires a little bit of a total understanding of what Jesus means in this parable. I'm going to go over it right now. The parable is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. I'm going to attempt to comprehend and understand this event and this rendition in the life of Jesus, so I can understand and grasp his message. It's a very profound parable, and I think it has levels of meaning that are not usually acknowledged. Most people see it as a statement, though, this is a good man, and that's it, but the Samaritan. But there's more to it than that. However, I'm honored and privileged in undertaking this task of explaining and interpreting the words of the Son of God in Holy Scripture, in the Parable of the Good Samaritan. I approach this with humility and hesitation, knowing my inadequacy for this task, also knowing my serious mortal and human limitations in doing this work and coming to know the mind and words of Christ, which I know are far beyond me in 100 different ways. So I want to say that I'm seeking an attempt to comprehend this event and this message in the life of Jesus. I'm honored and privileged to undertake it. I'm explaining the words of the Son of God in Holy Scripture. I approach with humility and hesitation, knowing my gross inadequacy for interpreting the words of Christ and my mortal and human limitations in doing so, which are beyond me. The Bible verses here are found in the Gospel of Luke, verses 25 to 37, the Parable of the Good Samaritan. And the words are, "Behold, a lawyer stood up to him, a lawyer, which is, I have a law degree, so I might know about that lawyer. Behold, a lawyer stood up to him and put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Yes, now this is first of all, obviously, the matter of eternal life was not merely a Christian concern, because this was before the Christian faith. It was a Jewish doctrine also, apparently. But so this man asked Jesus, he says, he's a teacher, he respects him. He says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered him, what is written in the law? How do you read? And he answered, well, the law says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you've answered rightly. So the man is informed by Jesus, this is how to inherit eternal life. It's in the law. And he says, we are commanded in this law to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and strengthen your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you've answered correctly. This is how to inherit eternal life, and you will live. And then there's a further discussion, and he man wishes to justify himself. And just one second, ladies and gentlemen, I just have to get my scriptures out. This is chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. This is Luke chapter 10. It's Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. And the man says, desiring to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Because Jesus says you're supposed to love God with all your heart and all your mind, and your neighbor is yourself. And then the man teases him, sort of challenges him and says, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gives an example of what he means. Hello? So, this is the thing of what he says here, that this example of who his neighbor is. He says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chariot, a priest, this is a religious leader. This is very important here, that he fell among thieves, and he's left half dead. And the first thing Jesus says is this priest, a Levite, a religious leader, was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by to the other side. Didn't want to be bothered. It's very common when people think, see, have something bad happen to somebody else. They don't want to know about it. And Jesus knew that in this parable, that this priest wanted nothing to do with this injured man. And then a Levite, when he same place, and saw him pass by on the other side. So these two religious leaders, these two top dogs in the Palestinian Jewish hierarchy, these people passed this injured man. And it's very common. Jesus is telling us that you can't judge people by their appearances or by their position. It's by their moral actions we have to judge a person. And then the Samaritan, an outcast of Jewish society in Palestine, a bottom person, a person from the ghetto maybe, a drug dealer in America's world, he came to where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion, and he went to him. Hello? I'm on the phone right now, okay? I'll call you back. That's right. So the Samaritan, he came to where he was. He had compassion and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn, care of him. So the Samaritan, this outcast, this lowlife, so to speak, of the society, he saw him, he had compassion, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took 2 coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you. Then Jesus asked, which of these thin men proved a neighbor to the man who fell among thieves? And the answer was, the one who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. So there are a lot of keys to this matter. First of all, we have the situation is the man asks, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gives an example, and he notes very carefully that this man who is injured and beaten up by robbers, the priest and Levite, pay no attention to him. These are the top religious leaders of society. So Jesus is making a point here that these zealous religious people are not so great. They're not the one who proved to be compassionate and to show a neighbor relationship to this wounded man. So that's one point. The second thing is the Samaritan, this outcast, this inhabited of the Jewish, of the ghetto in Palestine, a lowlife, a sort of a person who was on the lowest man in the social totem pole. Well, he had compassion, and he proved to be his neighbor. So this is very important of who was proved to be your neighbor. And what important thing is, in this passage, Jesus inaugurates the new Christian mission. He says here that the law is valid for Jews and non-Jews alike to gain and inherit eternal life. And the answer to the question is not who belongs to God's people, but the proper conduct of God's people. So Jesus starts a new religion here. This is the main point of this parable. And he says the law, loving your neighbor, is for Jews and non-Jews alike to gain an eternal life. Again, eternal life is a Jewish concept, not necessarily Christian. But he's saying for Jews, that the law is for Jews and non-Jews alike. And the answer he gives as to who is his neighbor is not who belongs to God's people, not the Jewish people, but the proper conduct of God's people, which could be anyone. The issue is for Jesus is not who says they are the top people, Levite or priest or Jewish person, but the proper conduct and moral behavior of God's people. He says, the outcast Samaritan showed the love of neighbor and proved himself to be God's people. So it's very important here to understand, Jesus inaugurates a new Christian mission. And he says the law is for non-Jews and Jews alike. The answer to the question is not who belongs to God's people, not as Jewish, but the proper moral conduct of the person. And it was the Samaritan that showed the love of neighbor and to be a member of God's people. So Jesus is redefining and coming to a new understanding of Judaism to really encompass all those who follow the commands of the Lord to love your neighbor. That Jesus is really saying, it's not a matter of race, it's not a matter of sex, it's a matter of your moral conduct of love for your neighbor. And this is the new religion he is inaugurating. It is not a nationalist religion. It is a religion without racial boundaries, without sexual boundaries, without national boundaries. Jesus makes the very significant point that it is the Samaritan, this outcast, that followed the law, and this person, and non-Jewish people, and all kinds of people are welcome for Jesus, who follow the law, the command to love your neighbor. This is a very important parable. Not because the man loved his neighbor, but because Jesus has started a new interpretation and redefinition of Jewish thought possibly to be seen more as a Christian thought system. At least that is what was occurring. So Jesus is saying that to love your neighbor can be on the part of anyone in the world, and the person's position, whether a priest or a Levite in the religious hierarchy, means nothing. It's your moral conduct that's essential. And in this case, it was the Samaritan that showed love for the neighbor and followed the moral law. And he is the one who Jesus tells us to emulate. I think I've made clear the important point here, not necessarily to love your neighbor, but that the Samaritan, the outcast in Palestinian Judaism, was the one who showed love your neighbor. And Jesus was inaugurating a new religion outside of legalistic Jewish circles of that day. He is slightly edging his way to a Christian mission belief system. I hope you've enjoyed this presentation, and I've enjoyed speaking about it. I think what Jesus said is very important. He was a groundbreaking, this is parable, is groundbreaking and thought-breaking for the reasons I indicated. And I suggest you go to Luke, and the chapter is Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Take a look at it, read it, and reflect on what I've said. This can also be found on my website and social media, my interpretation of these parables. I've enjoyed speaking to us. I think it's a very important parable that has to really reach our full understanding to know what is occurring here in the minds of Christ, the Son of God. Thank you for listening. Good night.